Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Jean Paul. Mark is not with us today, but I have as my guests Joe King and Joan Hamilton talking about The Sleeping Beauty, which Alaska Fine Arts Academy is putting on beginning next week, right after the 4th of July. And I'm glad to have you with us, Joe. And Joan, would you like to tell me what this play is about?
Well, this play is a rewrite of the Sleeping Beauty story, which any of us who have been exposed to fairy tales in our lives probably remember. And Joe King wrote his own version. It's an adaptation that I have been delighted to be part of. Without giving details, I'm not the expert. Joe is.
So. Yeah, I wrote the script. What happened was the Fine Arts Academy, we wrapped up doing Magician's Nephew, and they were wondering what the next show was going to be. They wanted me to direct the show, and I said, well, I would really like to do Cotton Patch Gospel. And they weren't very familiar with that musical, and they said they wanted something that everybody would know to try and get more people that normally don't come to the theater to step in, and something that would be for the whole family, all the kids could get introduced to. And so they figure what would be a name that everybody would know. And I said, how about Sleeping Beauty? Because they were throwing around Wizard of Oz. Oh, I'm tired of Wizard of Oz. Everybody does Wizard of Oz all the time, you know? And I said, I could write it. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I thought I could write it. And then I did write it, and I wrote it in less than a month. And I did it 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there. And I have a little bit of radio background, and that sort of helped, because when you're doing stuff for radio, it's normally got to fit in a short amount of time. And you got to put a button on it and wrap it up quick. So each one of these scenes, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. The other thing about it was, when I did Magician's Nephew, and this is a problem I'm having even outside of Eagle River and working with kids in Anchorage, is there's lots of women that come to the auditions and there's no men. And for Magician's Nephew, there's this one part of a girl I've never seen. We had almost 75 kids, girls, come and audition for one part of Polly. And I told the girls, and people always hear this stuff, I could cast all of you in this part. And it was the truth. Most of those girls could play that part. And unfortunately, it was determined by the men. And normally you're begging men, please, please come audition for my show. We got to fill these parts. And the girl that got cast matched the guy that was the closest to playing the part of the lead boy. So that's what determined it, really, was the boy.
Well, Joe knew there was a theater camp being designed for this summer for youth, because we really try and expose the youth of Eagle River, Chugiak, and Anchorage. We actually have youth that have come from as far as Willow to participate in our productions. So Joe said that he wanted to write a production that would be used during this camp, this summer theater camp. And because he knew that we do get a lot of young ladies and older ladies like myself, he designed this to have a huge opportunity for the youth, the female youth, who showed such an interest during Magician's Nephew.
Yes, this play can be done with mainly female characters. The whole cast can be females except for...
You gotta have a prince.
That's it, except for the prince. There's a prince and a king, and there's a young prince as a boy. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it could all be done with females. And then the funny thing was, we ended up getting
more young men show up.
How interesting.
Yeah. So.
Somehow the magnet of young ladies drew the young men.
But it's a fun show. I think it's kind of a challenging show. I think if I was a kid, I would love it, because there's all kinds of stuff happening. We've got magic in it. So there's magic camps where the kids learn how to perform stage illusions. And there's also combat, so the kids get to learn combat, and it's pretty exciting stuff. And there's even the parts, you can't just say, okay, well, this is the lead. And we were going back and forth, who's the lead? And the only thing we could figure, the closest to who the leads would be the fairies, the fairy godmothers. And but the rest of the characters, it's pretty much ensemble, and there are a bunch of characters, and they all have just brilliant, wonderful scenes. It's a lot of fun.
Well, if you have a young princess and an older princess, you must have added somewhat to the story, I presume.
Well, Joan plays a queen.
And I play one of the queens.
Yes, she's Queen Osgood. She is the mother of the prince. And they have a wonderful scene about love.
We do.
And it's a lot of fun.
Right, love is work. It's not necessarily romance.
Yes, it's not always the... What's the line about the fluttering, the drunken...
drunken butterflies buzzing around the flowers. It's not all about that.
Right, right.
There's more involved. I kind of burst my adolescent son's bubble about love in a humorous way. It's a very fun scene where...
This sounds like a very interesting play.
It is an interesting play, and it's been interesting to watch the youth who have come to the Academy for the summer theater camp learn and begin to take on the techniques. Joe is so adept at directing. He is gentle, patient, kind, all of the things that he's trying to espouse in this play. And he's bringing these youth to a place where they're comfortable stepping out of their comfort zones, many of them.
That sounds great. But meantime, for those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests, Joe King and Joan Hamilton. And we're talking about the Alaska Fine Arts Academy in Eagle River, their production of The Sleeping Beauty, which is written by Joe and apparently takes in the main characters, whom we all know as they are children. Do I have that right?
It starts off with Briar Rose. Well, we'll back up a little bit. When I was doing research on Sleeping Beauty, I found lots of different stories, and then there was a main one that was started by Charles Perrault. I'm butchering his name. It's French. And then over the years, of course, the Grimm brothers added some stuff, and things got changed up. And I took some of the themes, because some of those early stories, especially the German ones, are a little, what can I say, risque, or maybe not too appropriate for the kids.
And both risque and rough.
Yeah, there we go. That's rough, great. Yeah. And so, but I did go with some of the themes that were in there, and I liked the idea of restoration, and I liked the idea of resurrection, and I thought that stuff was really neat, so I kept that in there. But it starts off with Briar Rose when she's a little girl, when she first is, shortly after she's born, she's an infant, and then there's this big bad Belladonna, who's one of these, kind of like she's in charge of these Bane fairies, which are these evil fairies. And that is sort of taken from the original story, where she had like 13 fairy godmothers. But instead, I went a different route where I made them fall from grace. And I also changed it where instead of working with a spindle wheel, we're playing with roses. And she gets pricked by a rose in this one. Yeah. And that's what...
That makes it a lot simpler. You don't have to find a darn spinning wheel.
Bing, 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 bing. Yeah, exactly. And roses are a lot of fun, too. So, but there's lots of things that happen. And Sleeping Beauty in this show is an allegory. There's a political allegory in there. There's a spiritual allegory in there. And what's happened is there's people that are asleep. She, of course, at one point, she's going to get into that spell and she's gonna fall asleep, but there's other things that are happening. This kingdom, their king, he goes a little bonkers, and he is asleep in his leadership. The wife ends up stepping up to the plate and having to take care of this stuff, and it's really cool. The people are asleep in certain ways, and there's even a part in it where one of the servants is going around collecting these roses because they have to burn up all the roses. And that's their main source of money. That's how come they're rich. They're so rich, before this incident happened, the kids would take the silver and skip it across the water and throw it around. It's worthless. And so, but once they start burning these roses, because it's one of the things that the king commands, he doesn't want his daughter to be pricked by a rose, and the only rose he's going to have in his kingdom is his daughter.
This is fabulous.
Oh,
it's a wonderful storyline.
It's a kick.
And for the adults who have any measure of being astute, to sit and look at the storyline that's run beneath the scenes, it's pretty enjoyable. It's not just a children's play to come and hope that you can leave soon to go catch a fish.
Well, does she sleep for 100 years?
No, I did not do that to her.
I kind of figured that.
She goes away during much of her preteen years, which from a parental standpoint, I'm kind of fond of that. She goes away, but there are good fairy godmothers who help her during the time that she's away until she returns.
And our fairy godmothers are a lot of fun, and they're kind of sneaky. They're kind of like the castle's special force too. So they're a lot of fun. The fairies are awesome.
There's humor throughout this as well, and the time period. You know, some of the humor is very contemporary if you're paying attention. The lines, there's some very subtle, sweet, subtle, humorous.
Fascinating.
Thread.
You might have a winner here, Joe. But I'm going to have to bring this to a close and to thank you, although I'm going to keep you here for a while to help me read the calendar, but I'll name you again now and later. Joe King and Joan Hamilton talking about The Sleeping Beauty, which is being put on by the Alaska Fine Arts Academy.
Which is in Eagle River, and we open the weekend of Bear Paw, so it's another reason to come to Eagle River.
Oh, I had forgotten about that Bear Paw. Very good.
We will be in the parade as well.
So. Excellent. And now, here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar, you can go to datebook49.com, where you can list your event on KSKA's website.
The new group, Mountain Shack Theater Alaska, is presenting live Alaska comedy at the Wildberry Theater this weekend. The shows are local comedy interwoven with old movies about Alaska. Times are 9 p.m. tonight and tomorrow. Tickets at centertix.net or call 263-ARTS.
TBA's classes are opening July 6th and still have a few openings. Call TBA at 677-7529 for more info.
At Cyrano's, opening July 8th is the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Performances will be at 7 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday, and it'll run through August with a Sunday matinee only in the last 2 weeks in August. For tickets and information for either show, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
And in Talkeetna, Denali Drama presents How to Make Love Like an Alaskan and Sleepless in Soldotna. Summer performances June 12th through August 31st. On Sunday through Wednesday nights at 6 to 7:30 p.m. And tickets are available at all dates at denaliartscouncil.org.
And at the Anchorage Community Theater, you can see The 39 Steps, which opens July 8th and runs through August 31st. Showtimes are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7, and Sunday matinee at 3. Tickets are available online or call 868-4913.
In Eagle River, the Alaska Academy of Fine Arts presents The Sleeping Beauty, July 8th through 23rd. Performances are Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. For tickets and information, go to AFAA or call 694-8908. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, visit our website, the new website at alaskapublic.org. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, I'm Jean Paul for KSKA.